This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05 on Friday, the last trading day of the week. It's July 27th. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And good afternoon. For Chris Kreidel, I'm Nick Young. We expect another delightful day with a mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon, and we're headed for more very fine summer weather ahead. We'll tell you all about it. A full AccuWeather forecast coming up right now, 74 degrees in the city.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Taking a look at the numbers on Wall Street, it's getting to be a tough Friday afternoon. Let's get the latest as we check in at Bloomberg with Adrian Mitchell.
Yeah, Regine, all red on the board here. Stocks not getting a boost from a boost in economic growth. The Dow is down 120 points. The Nasdaq down 134. That's about 1.75% from the Nasdaq. And the S&P down 22 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.75%. Groupon is the biggest loser on the local index. Shares falling 9% as a patent case with IBM goes to a jury. The good news, GDP grew at a rate of 4.1% in the 3 months through June, just a tick below the median forecasts as consumers and businesses spent more. The numbers also owe plenty to exports picking up as foreign customers rush to buy soybeans and other U.S. products before retaliatory tariffs kicked in. But Twitter is helping to erase any Wall Street gains that might have been prompted by that news of economic growth. Shares tumbling 19% after it reported falling user numbers, the plunge the biggest for Twitter shares in 2 years. And ExxonMobil also a drag on the Dow after its disappointing results. Shares are falling 2%. Regina, Nick?
All right. Thank you very much, Adrian. We have lots to talk about on the Noon Business Hour today. Of course, the GDP numbers that came out and the expectation for economic growth throughout the rest of the year. Also, we'll take a closer look this first half hour at tech stocks and why they are suffering, some of them, and why Amazon is doing so well.
Entrepreneur Friday, we'll take a look at a Chicago woman whose grilled cheese sandwiches are gaining her national fame. And there is another media mogul who's being accused of sexual harassment. We'll talk about the charges against Leslie Moonves and what that might mean for CBS. All that and more.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Amazon and Twitter have gone in very different directions on Wall Street this week. We will get to that in our next segment. But right now, strong economic numbers out of Washington. Joining us is Diane Swong, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Diane, it's good to have you back on the program. Yes, indeed, a strong quarter, 4.1% growth in the quarter. Put that into perspective for us, if you would.
Well, certainly it was solid gains. What we saw was a nice comeback in the consumer after hibernating over the winter. They went out and kicked up their heels a little bit and bought a lot of cars as well. We also saw some solid gains in investment, and the government, of course, itself turned on its own spigots, and we saw spending by the federal government pick up. What was interesting and the unusual and unsustainable part of the number was the narrowing of the trade deficit. We saw this big surge in exports as basically China bought ahead boatloads of soybeans before retaliatory tariffs were put in place, and that sort of pulled some growth forward. That's not sustainable. Over 1% of growth alone came from that sort of quirk because of the threat of a trade war and what actually did become retaliatory tariffs. So, you know, some of it's not sustainable, but still a very strong number. We're expecting 3% for the overall year. That would be the strongest year since 2005. The only thing that came close was 2015 at 2.9%. And I think the important message is that we are seeing sort of more broad-based gains. The only outlier is housing, where foreign investment has dropped off. And that was actually a very tiny drag on the overall economy in the second quarter.
Yes, and I was going to ask specifically about that, Diane. What do you see as the key drags going forward?
Well, certainly housing we're watching very closely. The demand is still very strong. What we are starting to see, though, is more mixed and modest when referring to demand in terms of the surveys by the Federal Reserve, asking out in the communities that they're at. Realtors are getting a bit nervous. Inventories were the problem for some time, where there just wasn't enough inventories, and I think that still is the predominant problem. The fact that foreigners are pulling back in some of the hardest markets may actually make it affordable for entry-level buyers to get out, but we watch housing so closely because it is the most interest rate sensitive of sectors and the first to pull back when interest rates rise, and that's what we're starting to see. So we hope that this is more of a glitch than a trend. Another thing to watch out for, of course, is we are running a marathon here and we're juicing the economy with fiscal stimulus. We don't want to overheat before we finish the marathon, and we're also creating hurdles for ourselves with trade barriers, and those can trip us up as well. So those are all things we're watching on the horizon, but certainly want to enjoy what growth we have.
Diane, everywhere I go, I see signs for help wanted. We know that unemployment is at a year's low right now. Is it inevitable that inflation is going to start ramping up at some point?
Well, inflation has already ramped up, unfortunately, ahead of wage gains at the moment. We're running on average hourly earnings below inflation, even though wages have picked up a little bit. That's been the real conundrum, is that we've not seen more rapid wage gains. And so even though we're back at sort of the 2000-like lows on unemployment, we don't have the 2000-like sort of real wage gains that we saw out there, and the willingness, you know, now hiring pulse required kind of hiring that we once saw. So the good news is that people are getting jobs. There's more paychecks out there. That's something we welcome. And wages are creeping up. They just aren't creeping up fast enough. And unfortunately, with tariffs, that's a real double-edged sword, because it gives us inflation, which the Fed had wanted, but without a lot of wage gains, because the math on it is there's just more steel users than producers. And so you tend to hurt more people downstream than you help. And we're seeing it even in things like washing machines and those kinds of things that got tariffs on them early on. They welcomed them then, but all of a sudden that they have to pay more for their input costs. Now they're finding their margin squeezed.
Well, certainly some more interest rates to come from the Fed before the year is out. Diane, thanks very much. Diane Swank, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Coming up, peaks and valleys with the tech sector, what's driving Amazon while Twitter goes down.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some of the most dramatic swings on Wall Street this week have been in the tech sector. We're talking about the fates at Twitter today, Facebook yesterday, and the fortunes of Amazon. We're talking with Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley FBR in New York City. Art, welcome back to the program. When we take a look at the tech sector, you know, some are sort of starting to talk about the dot-com bubble bursting. We're not anywhere near there, right?
No, fortunately, we're not, right? So we like to go back in history and look at times that feel like they might mirror the place that we're at. But, you know, I always tell people to think about valuations. And when you look at the valuations on the NASDAQ composite index as an index, or, the, you know, the top 25 names, we're nowhere close to that. And we'd be missing a zero on some of the PEs. So it's not that. But what I will tell you is, when we think about the success of some of the technology stocks heading into this earnings reporting season, you've got stocks that are up over any time frame you'd like to pick significantly. We've seen the FANG stocks over a 3-year basis in the order of 400%. On a 1-year basis, the FANG stocks are up call it 40 to 50%. So when we see these 15 to 20% pullbacks like we've seen in Twitter and Facebook, it's shocking on the surface, but it's the they call the momentum name for a reason, and I think that's what's happening. All individual stories, we like to think of them as a group, but they're all individual stories, and not all of them are doing poorly.
For stocks like Twitter and Facebook that are pulling back right now, do you see it as a buying opportunity for investors who might have put off getting into those stocks?
Well, it's a better opportunity price-wise, but you have to get your mind wrapped around what the next shoe to drop might be. So for Facebook, clearly they're still in the crosshairs of will there be regulation over the safety of data? Will they have to change their business model? We saw that happen in the Eurozone, so they made changes to data protection. You actually have to opt in versus opting out in the United States for Facebook to have your data used and be part of that algorithm that helps sell things to you. So, you know, it's not inconceivable that, that's a decision. And if that's the case, that changes the business model of Facebook. And they're not going to change rules just for Facebook. So that would be anybody in social media. So that sort of usage of your data to help advertise, sell things to you better, that business model might not be as lucrative. We're already seeing that with Facebook. They're spending a lot of money to keep data safer. And they're certainly doing a lot to get to a point where they can defend their business model. So that costs money. The multiples are coming down, and we have to re-rate those prices. So, you know, in terms of right now, I think we've got time to look at these things. You know, none of these names will bottom in a day or two. So I would be cautious and take your time as you tiptoe around and get your head wrapped around the larger issues.
All right, Art, you've got the social media platforms pulling back, and then you have Amazon. What is the secret in its sauce anyway, and can it be sustained?
Yeah, Amazon has had the gift for years of investors allowing it to grow its revenues and spend money on things that will help it grow in the future. So Amazon Web Services didn't exist 10 years ago. Now it's a significant portion of their earnings, and the multiples are high. So advertising has never been a big line item for them, and now it's 4% of their revenues, and it's growing fantastically. So Amazon has gotten that hall pass to be able to grow and agnostic of their earnings, and all of a sudden they're earning money, and people are focusing on that. So I think that's what Amazon has done a great job of. It's spent on its future. It's taken those revenue streams and spent on its future at the detriment of its earnings over several years. I think everyone looks at Amazon and says, well, at any point in time, they can stop spending, and you know, all those revenues that they have coming in over transom will turn into earnings, and then we've started to pivot in that direction. So, you know, the earnings beat that Amazon had, albeit, you know, disappointment on the revenues, the earnings beat for a company its size was nothing short of spectacular, and where it came from is important. So web services and advertising, two line items that grew much higher than we estimated. So I think that's why it gets that pass on its earnings, and that's why earnings are so fun, right? You don't know, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, we always appreciate your perspective, Art. Thanks very much. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley, FBR in New York. Now, we'll check the markets when we come back, and later on, Entrepreneur Friday, and we'll visit a startup that has turned grilled cheese into a success story. WBBM News Time 12:26. Let's bring you up to date as the market sell-off continues. Once again, Adrian Mitchell.
The Dow is down 121. The Nasdaq, the really hurting index, it's down 133 points. That's 1.75%. And the S&P is down 24. Twitter, one big reason Wall Street not taking heart from a healthy pace of economic growth. GDP rose at a 4.1% pace in the second quarter, but Twitter says it saw nearly 3% more monthly active users, but it expects those numbers to fall in this quarter as it intensifies its effort to clean up the platform. Twitter shares fall 19%. Now let's go to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. Pete?
Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade today. We have had corn up 2 to down 2 at the moment, down a half cent in December at 375 and a quarter. But for the week, we are up 7 cents. Beans back and forth, down 2 to 3 early, and then up 12 to 13. We're up 5 right now in the Novembers at 881. And wheat down 6 to 8 now, following Europe after being up earlier in the week. Mixed prices at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And good afternoon for Chris Kreidel. I'm Nick Young. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
There is light at the end of the tunnel for Starbucks investors coming up. We'll also talk about what's moving Wall Street.
It's also Entrepreneur Friday. We will tell you about a lunch destination that aims at your love of cheese.
Developing story, shareholders for both sides approved Disney's acquisition of 21st Century Fox.
The news we're following at WBBM, North Korea returns the remains of dozens of service members killed in the Korean War.
Wildfires scorched thousands of acres in California.
Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 121 points, the NASDAQ off 132, and the S&P 500 down 24.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
The markets are right now headed lower as we head into the weekend. So let's look at what is moving the markets today. We're talking with Michael Palumbo, the manager of TMT Perseverance Fund here in Chicago and author of the book Calculated Risk. Michael, give us your take on what's happening.
Well, we have a slight sell-off right now in the market, and I think a lot of that is just we've come a long way in a short period of time. So the S&P is down almost 1%. But again, in the grand scheme of things, we're still up almost double digits for the year, and it's been a great month so far. And second quarter earnings have come in much better than anticipated, and this sell-off to me is just a fact that we've just come too far too fast.
In the last couple of days, certainly there's been a great deal of focus on the tech stocks. What role is that playing?
Well, we've had a ton of numbers out, Intel, Amazon, and Facebook, and Twitter today. So there's last couple of days, as you said, there's been a lot of news. In the social media sector, both Facebook and Twitter have gotten hammered close to 20% each. Facebook yesterday had the biggest drop of a stock in market cap in history. So that's a big move. But what's happening with both those stocks, Twitter and Facebook, is they're losing some of their users, and that's a metric that people use in this sector more so than sales or earnings, because that's a real good indication of how the company is growing and whether they are maintaining their share of the business. So now Twitter this morning came out and their user growth actually shrunk, which that was a big surprise. They're claiming that some of this is that they're purging fake accounts, but what people that follow the stock understand is that the fake accounts they're purging are not really in their active user numbers, because as it's called, active users, these are accounts that aren't actively in use anyway. So the number is alarming, because this purge of fake accounts doesn't really seem to matter. They actually have lost a little bit of traction.
When we look at Twitter, there have been nagging doubts for a while about their efforts to monetize what they do and to grow their user base. Facebook didn't seem to have those doubts for a long time, and it all suddenly came to the fore yesterday. Is this a systemic problem with Facebook that's going to drag down the stock in maybe the months and the years to come?
I don't believe so. I've been a big advocate for the stock since it was $100, and it's still almost $200. You have to keep in mind this stock has grown exponentially over the last 5 years, and so a pullback of even 20% is totally understandable given where it's come from. So I like the stock going forward. I think it's the name to be in if you want to have a social media stock. They have almost a monopoly in what they do. They're great at what they do, and I think one quarter bump, it is in my mind, a buying opportunity.
Mike, let's turn our attention to Starbucks, if we could. It's been a rough period of time for them, chiefly over the public outcry that erupted over the chain's treatment of minorities and some high-publicized episodes, and yet revenue and profits have gone to new records. Explain to us exactly how Starbucks has been able to overcome and what they're doing right.
Well, Starbucks is a very intriguing name, because for the last 3 years, this stock has been between 50 and 60 bucks and hasn't moved. And with all the news that you've heard, and you've mentioned some of it being negative, and then the founder, Howard Schultz, leaving and Kevin Johnson taking over, they've had a lot of things going on, but the fact is their numbers have been solid. So they came in with 62 cents earnings, which is a slight beat of 61 was the anticipated number, and up 13% year on year, and sales were up as well compared to what the analyst estimated. So you've got a stock that is kind of treading water because investors are a little nervous about all the bad news, but yet the numbers still remain good. And let me just say there's two other factors here. One is that China is still growing, and China is going to be a big a big area of growth going forward. They expect to grow 600 new stores a year for the foreseeable future in China. So that is a big driver of revenue and earnings. So that's a positive. And then on the negative side, their sugary drinks are finally taking a hit here in America as people, consumers are looking to go into things that are a little bit healthier. So the Frappuccinos are down big. And so they're moving into stuff called cold brew coffee, teas, other things that are lower calorie. And so we'll see how that transition happens. But the numbers have been solid, and that's why the stock's hanging in there.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Coming up, Entrepreneur Friday, we'll take a look at a popular Chicago lunch spot where grilled cheese is the main attraction.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As always, this time on Friday, it's Entrepreneur Friday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Grilled cheese is more than just an item on the menu. It is the menu, the heart and soul of a lunch spot with devoted followers in Chicago's Block 37 retail development. We welcome Gail Voss, owner of Gail V's Best Ever Grilled Cheese in the Chicago Loop. Gail, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm happy to be here.
We certainly have heard of these niche restaurants. How did you come up with the idea of doing, is it just grilled cheese?
Pretty much. You know, we, of course, have to have the tomato soup to go with it, but we have all kinds of cookies and local soda, but everything is made and sourced locally. So we support 24 other small businesses in the restaurant here. But specifically for sandwiches, yes, they are all grilled cheese.
And you've got lines out the door?
We do get them. I know there's a pretty good crowd out in the lobby right now, actually. It is Lobster Friday, so we do tend to be busy every day during the lunch hour. But our breakfast sandwiches are becoming very popular as well. So we do get a little lovely morning crowd. But since we're in Block 37 and there's always people, commuters, or people going to court or going to City Hall or whatever, we do get some of those as they walk by and happen to see us.
When you say Lobster Friday, how does that work with grilled cheese?
Well, it's fabulous. It's the only thing, of course, not locally sourced, just because Lake Michigan just doesn't have it out there. But it kind of came to be when I was doing a pop-up here inside Block 37 before I became a tenant. And there was a lunch food festival upstairs on the first floor, and I participated in. And one of the other restaurants that participated was New England Seafood Company, and I have this cheese called Butter Queso, and it's very buttery, tastes a little bit like macaroni and cheese, and I thought, you know, maybe we should see what that lobster would taste, and it just sort of became a hit. It was Lent, so everybody was looking at seafood items, and when I stopped making it, everybody was not happy. So when I moved back in there as a permanent resident, we put it on a regular every Friday's Lobster Friday.
And I think, Gail, for people who don't know your story, you began with an idea, and then you started to take it to farmers markets, and then how did it go from there? How did you get established where you are now?
Yeah, I actually started selling the cheese at the farmers markets, and then the grilled cheese came to be because I was standing there. The Venison Bakery has fabulous white sourdough bread I use, and then Nordic Creamery, also another vendor at the market, has fresh butter. And I thought, I have the most delicious cheese for a grilled cheese sandwich. So I started with just the classic grilled cheese the first year, and I only used Prairie Pure cheese. They're out of Belvedere. And the next year we added a tomato, and then some of the restaurants that I was delivering cheese to for their menus, if they had an item that they sourced the ingredients from locally, I had also started naming sandwiches after those restaurants if they made a locally sourced and locally made topping. So we have like the Southport, named after Southport Grocery and Cafe, and they actually make the smoked onion marmalade that's on that sandwich. It tastes like bacon, but there's no meat in it, and it is absolutely delicious. It's actually a Good Food Award winner. Lisa is very, very talented in what she offers in her place, and I love reaping the benefits of knowing her.
So it's high-quality craft food, and as you look around now, is this a growing game in town, would you say?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, like I said, I support 24 other small businesses. You know, I just got my ham delivery. And when I started, I might have been getting, you know, 10 or 12 pounds of ham. I just got 80 pounds of ham, you know, so I am supporting that little pig farm pretty well. You know, we are buying an awful lot of bread and butter and certainly a lot of cheese. So my goal was to help support the farmers and the small business person locally, and it certainly is working. So I like to think we might see more pop-ups similar to mine. Not to mention that they're fabulous sandwiches because everything is so fresh and locally sourced.
Your name is Gail V's Best Ever Grilled Cheese, but you had to change that. Tell us about that.
I did. I wanted to trademark it, so you never know if you're going to go big, so you want to have everything in place. So I tried to, a couple years ago, tried to trademark Gail's. I was Gail's Best Ever. Took a piece of black cardboard at the farmer's market, put my name up there, and just started making a couple sandwiches, not knowing I would grow. And then I found out there's a Gail's Bakery in California that actually has the name trademarked Gail's. So I went with my last initial because all my customers when I was serving were like, well, you can't change it from Gail's. Everybody knows you as Gail's Grilled Cheese. So I put my last name initial on there, and it looks really cute. I have my logos in the shape of a piece of bread, and inside the V is the cheese. So it looks like a little grilled cheese with my last name initial. So Gail V's in the shape of a bread is my official logo and trademark now.
All right, Gail, now one final question. My wife, I have to say, makes a killer grilled cheese sandwich. Are you willing to divulge any kind of a trade secret here that might help us home cooks?
You know, no secrets, you know, buy the fresh stuff, buy the good stuff, you know. I attribute it all, basically, I think the cheese, the butter queso cheese that I use is amazingly delicious. And fresh bread and fresh butter also. You know, I don't have tomatoes on my sandwiches in the winter because I won't buy one that tastes like water. The ones that I get that we have on right now on our margarita has fresh-made basil pesto and also fresh beefsteak tomatoes from the farmer's market. So we do a ham and Swiss with fresh blueberry mustard and slices of fresh peach. That's a very seasonal sandwich as well, so you can only get it for a while. So our menu does rotate.
Well, you certainly can't beat grilled cheese as comfort food. Gail, very nice meeting you. Gail Voss, owner of Gail V's Best Ever Grilled Cheese at Block 37 downtown. Still ahead, a major step forward in Disney's bid for 21st Century Fox.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The proposed Disney acquisition of 21st Century Fox is a big step closer to reality today. Shareholders of both companies approved it just this morning. Now, we're talking with returning guest Tim Hanlon, the founder and CEO of Vertair Group here in Chicago. Tim, good to have you back on the program. What was the key here to this moving forward?
Hey, Nick, it's both boards of each company essentially agreeing to the acquisition, to the transaction, and it's already basically cleared all the regulations from various places in the U.S. and as well as abroad. So it's effectively a de facto rubber stamp of the deal, and essentially it's just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's for Disney to fully acquire all of these assets of 21st Century Fox.
When we look at the numbers, it's $71 plus billion. I think Rupert Murdoch has Comcast to thank for a sweetening of the deal, correct?
No doubt about that. And Comcast bowed out after with Brian Roberts, the CEO of Comcast, admitted to become just an unwieldy amount of money for all these assets. But that said, I mean, these assets are obviously very valuable in a very fast-changing media landscape. We've talked about that for many, many different conversations over the years on this show. And, you know, Disney is getting some very alluring assets, especially in the content creation side of it, from movie studio and television studio stuff, as well as, frankly, some very valuable international television assets that, frankly, people in the United States don't see the value of or really understand. But will get them very entrenched in places like the UK and in India.
Tim, another major media company that's in the news today, and it's not good news for CBS, where Les Moonves, president and CEO of the company, reportedly is the subject of a new article that's coming up in The New Yorker alleging sexual misconduct. You know, we've seen this play out before at other places, other corporations. What's going to happen here, do you think?
Well, a couple of things. Obviously, can't speak specifically to the allegations or the story that The New Yorker apparently is going to publish, I think, today. But, you know, there's probably no company in the media space, perhaps with the exception of Rupert Murdoch, who has a person in the personality of somebody like Les Moonves that is attached so directly to the company in CBS. I suspect that, you know, a lot of what Les Moonves does with CBS is intertwined with his personality. He's largely responsible for that company being very successful over the years. But I also suspect that there's, you know, let's be honest, there is a battle that CBS has with Viacom right now. And who knows what the background and the battle sort of between that is. But there's a very acrimonious relationship right now between Viacom and CBS to put possibly those assets back together again.
And he's been resisting this all along. Sherry Redstone must be kind of gleeful about, you know, if there's schadenfreude there, it probably would be hers.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, who's to say what things happen in the heat of battle and stuff? I mean, the timing of the story certainly could be questioned, but, you know, obviously, you know, the allegations are true and are as severe as claimed, you know, can be a very hugely disruptive issue, not only to Les personally, but also the company and these this combination possibly.
Tim, thanks so much. Tim Hanlon is founder and CEO of the Vertera Group here in Chicago. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's bring you up to date on the latest market news, numbers, and more with Adrian Mitchell.
Stocks certainly not getting a lift from the positive report on the economy. The Dow is down 79 points, the NASDAQ down 109, and the S&P down 19. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.3% after the government said GDP grew by a 4.1% pace in the second quarter. But that news is being offset by disappointing earnings reports from Twitter and ExxonMobil. Twitter shares tumbling 19%. Monthly users dropped by 1 million in the second quarter, and the company predicts that number will decline further as it intensifies efforts to clean up the platform and deals with stricter privacy rules in Europe. Deutsche Bank is shrinking its U.S. operations, and that means dozens of job cuts at its office in Chicago. Sources tell Bloomberg some operations staffers are being told they can keep their jobs if they move to the Deutsche Bank facility in Jacksonville, Florida. Shares of CBS falling on those reports that you were talking about a New Yorker article in which CEO Les Moonves is apparently accused of unwanted kissing and touching. CBS shares down 7%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg newsroom, Adrian Mitchell, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.